Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brad. Well, hey, y'all. Good morning. It's good seeing you. So honored that you are here, especially if you're a guest. So if you were in the second service last Sunday, it was a bit different because my whole family from Katy's, Kentucky was here, and they get kind of loud and rowdy. It was awesome to have them up here with us. You got my Aunt Rita, my sisters, my cousins, all from back in Katy's. So we go to church and we rent out that back room at the Old South Barbecue, that little party room in the back. So 17 of us crammed in that little room, and it was a sight to behold. That poor waitress at Old South did not know what hit her. When you get all of us together, particularly the ladies in my family, the decibel level is like a Metallica concert. It is through the roof. And so, but I love it because I get to catch up on all the latest drama and gossip from Katy's, Kentucky. It's like a guilty pleasure there. Things, very important things in my hometown, like, you know, where are they putting in the newest dollar store? That is a very big deal in my hometown. Or big one last week was, did you hear who the third grade teacher is going out with now? Juicy stuff. See, we only got one third grade teacher for the whole school, and so it's juicy stuff. But of course, the biggest point of conversation every year in my hometown is this year, who is going to be crowned Miss Piggy at the Trigg County Country Ham Festival? Winning that crown, ladies, is a fast track to stardom for many. Many young ladies who win that crown make it all the way up to the secretary of the Trigg County Rotary Club, and it's a great honor indeed. There's a lot to talk about with my family, but no doubt when you get, in particular, the ladies of my family together, there is one phrase you will hear more than any other phrase. Well, bless her little heart. It's a Southern thing. Sometimes when we say, bless your heart, we mean it sincerely. And we have compassion in our heart towards you. Like, oh, I heard your Aunt Flossie's Chihuahua died. Bless her little heart. Can we bring her over a green bean casserole? So sometimes when we say, bless your heart, we mean it and we really care. But other times when we say, bless your heart, what we really mean is, that's code language for, honey, you're pitiful and you just don't know it. Like, oh, you got a new hairdo. Bless your heart. Y'all, we laugh because we know exactly what we're talking about. One author said, the phrase for a Southerner, bless your heart, it's like chicken and waffles. It can be sweet, it can be spicy, but it's perfect for every situation. So, next time somebody from a small town says to you, bless your heart, don't feel too blessed. You may just be pitiful and you don't know it, and that's their gentle way of helping you see. But we throw that phrase around, bless you, all the time. Hashtag blessed. How you doing today, man? Oh, I'm blessed by God. You know, bumper stickers and t-shirts and coffee cups about how blessed we are. But I don't think we have a clue the weight and the gravity of what it really means to be blessed by God. And that's the text this morning. We're in week two of our study of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians for a long time, at least a year, verse by verse, word by word. Today, we pick it back up where we left off last week, Ephesians 1, verse 3. Let's look at the text together. The Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul. Remember, he's from prison writing this letter. Look what he says in verse number 3. He says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. Three times in one verse, you see the word blessed or blessing. So that we'll feel it, let's read the verse again. This time we're going to underline the word blessed or blessing, and you say it out loud with me when we get to the underlined portion. All right, let's do it on three. One, two, three. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has us with every spiritual... And you guys are getting better at this every week. Now, here's what's interesting. Look at the first part of verse 3 again. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right out of the gate, we are the ones doing the blessing. Normally, we think about God blesses us, and we're going to come back to that. But here first, Paul says, no, you, body of Christ, you are to bless God. That, look at that word blessing in verse 3. Underline it if you're taking notes. It's a Greek word from where we get our English word eulogy. A eulogy, of course, is something we say at a funeral. It's when we speak well of someone. Like, you don't go to a funeral and somebody gets up and just bashes the dead person the whole time. Right? It'd be so awkward. You get up and you say only the best things. You eulogize them. You speak highly of them. You speak of all the amazing things they did. So to bless God in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. It is to eulogize God. It is to say God is good. God is great. To say all the amazing things God has done. Church, when was the last time we told somebody that God was good? When was the last time we publicly bragged on God? When was the last time you eulogized God? Well, let's practice. Pleasant Valley, say the underlined portion with me. You've heard this phraseology before. God is good and all the time. See, that is blessing God. It is publicly saying God is good, God is great. Bless him, honor him. Because we gather as a church body on Sundays, not just so that we can be blessed. We are here to bless him. Pardon my grammar, but this ain't our house. This is his house. We are here for him, and we bless him, and we honor him. All the eyes and all the focus are not on this band. It's not on me. It's on God and God alone. We bless him. Why? Because even when life is bad, God is good. He is always worthy of blessing and honor and praise. So let's do it one more time just to make sure we get it. Back to that phrase up there, if we could. God is good. And all the time, get in the habit and practice of saying that and believing it publicly. But back to verse 3, why are we to bless God? It's not just this rote things Christians say because we're supposed to be religious. The reason we lift up his name and bless his name is found in verse 3. Go back to it. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. We are to bless God because God has already blessed us in Christ. Now, in verse 3, this isn't just any little blessing God has given us. Again, we throw the word blessing around so flippantly, like, oh, God blessed me with a good parking spot at TJ Maxx. Or, man, God blessed me with 50% off them high heels at the shoe carnival. Man, God blessed me with a 10-point buck last weekend. Now, not that those can't be blessings, and they are. The Bible says in James 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Everything we have because God has given it to us. Every hair on our head is a gift and a blessing from God. Some have more than others of those blessings. Every slab of bacon in our freezer is a blessing from God. Every dollar in our checking account is a gift from God. God owns it all, and we don't have anything that we've not been given. So every piece of clothing you're wearing in a real sense is a blessing from heaven, but that's not the kind of blessing Paul's talking about here in verse 3. These are not physical blessings. These are spiritual blessings in Christ in heavens. In the heavens. So go back to the text and let's look at it. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. Now, how has he blessed us? With every spiritual blessing. in the heavens in Christ. So underline or highlight that word spiritual in verse 1. It's very important. Again, when you think about blessing today, don't think about, oh, God blessed me with a wonderful steak last night. That's not the point of the text. The Greek words for spiritual in verse 3, it's always used in the New Testament to refer to the work of the Holy Spirit. One scholar translates verse 3 in this way. I think this is helpful. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing of the Holy Spirit in the high heavenlies in Christ. Okay, so what are these Holy Spirit, heavenly, spiritual blessings that we have that are so important? They launch out the book of Ephesians. If you go to verse 3 and look at everything that follows verse 3 for the next several verses, those are the spiritual blessings Paul is speaking of. Now, I don't have time to do them all today, but we got weeks and weeks to do it. But today, I'm going to give you a little sneak peek of what these spiritual blessings are that are ours in Christ. First, in verse 4, it's the spiritual blessing that God chose us to be saved. That's next week's sermon. In verse 4, it's the blessing, the spiritual blessing, that God loved us before the world began, the Bible says. Talking about hashtag blessed. Before the stars were flung in the sky, before the seas were formed, God loved you before the world began. You've never not been loved by God. He loved you before your mama loved you. That is a spiritual blessing, to be loved by God forever and eternally. No Christian could ever say, oh, why won't God just bless me? We have been blessed. In verse 5, it's the spiritual blessing that God predestined us from the beginning of time to be adopted as his children. Again, more on that next week. It's the spiritual blessing in verse 6 and 8 of God's amazing, unending, all-encompassing grace. In verse 7, it's the blessing of God's eternal forgiveness for us. So here is Ephesians 1 in a nutshell, and we're going to take weeks to unpack it. Ephesians 1 says, God is raining down grace on his children. And we are soaked and drenched in it. That's Ephesians 1. So here's the main point of this text. God is unbelievably rich in all the spiritual blessings. And it's his great joy to generously and lavishly shower every single one of those blessings on us in Christ. Verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with which blessing? How many blessings? With every spiritual blessing in the heavens in Christ. If you are in Christ this morning, that is, you have turned from your sins, placed your faith in Jesus, you've been spiritually united to Christ, if that is you, there is not one single spiritual blessing in heaven that is not already yours in Christ. Child of God, you are so wealthy in Christ. You are stupidly rich in Christ. We have no clue how wealthy we are in him. Now, here's how we know this. So every week in Ephesians, you're going to see a theological statement. But then Paul is going to come back and undergird it with this foundation as to why. So why are we so wealthy in Christ? Flip over a couple of verses to verse 20. Now, we'll go through verse 20 extensively in several weeks, but let me give you a sneak peek now. God exercised this power, that is the power to save, in Christ by raising Christ from the dead and seating Christ at God's right hand in the heavens. Now, underline that phrase, in the heavens, in verse 20. Does that phrase look familiar? It's the same phrase from back in verse 3, today's main text. Remember in verse 3, what does God say? He says, you have been blessed with all the spiritual blessings where? In the heavens, in Christ. So if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, draw an arrow from verse 3 down to verse 20 to show us this, it's the same idea. Okay, so back to verse 20, watch this. God exercised this power in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating Christ at his right hand in the heavens. Verse 21, far above, where is Jesus? He is far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And God subjected everything under Jesus's feet. So verse 20 through 22 says, Jesus Christ is Lord over everything. Everything in heaven and on earth, it all belongs to Christ. All the wealth is Christ's wealth. Now, this is why you got to be here every Sunday and not miss one message in Ephesians, because it all flows and connects. Last Sunday, what was the main thing we learned? We're saints in Christ. And what do we call that doctrine? The doctrine of union with Christ. When we get saved, our souls, our spirits are made one with Christ. We're spiritually in him. So, according to verse 20 that we just read, where is Christ currently? He is seated at the right hand of God, where? In heaven. That's where Christ is in the flesh. Where are we if we are in Christ? We're with him, seated at the right hand of God in heaven. Watch this. Next page, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Look at how God takes what he has done with Christ and he brings us into it so that we're one with him, so that everything that is true of Christ becomes true of the Christian in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6, God also raised us, believer. He raised us up with Christ. That's union with Christ. And seated us with Christ, where? In the heavens in Christ Jesus. If that doesn't blow our minds, we're totally disengaged right now. Believer, in the spiritual realm, where are you right now? Like, I get it. Our rear ends are in that seat trying to stay awake. But no, but the real you, your true spiritual self, the true you is seated with Christ in heaven. That's where you are. So that, verse 7, in the coming ages, God might display. Look at this next phrase. The immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us. How do we get all the wealth, all the blessings, all the grace, all the forgiveness? In Christ Jesus. Now, next slide. Here's the logical argument Paul is making here. If you're like, all right, connect the dots. Christ is Lord over everything. Verse 20 through 22, verse 6 to 7. Therefore, his riches are immeasurable. Christ has all the grace, all the forgiveness, all the love. It all belongs to Christ in heaven. Next, in the spiritual realm, verse 6, we are seated with Christ in heaven where he owns all the things. Therefore, because all the spiritual blessings belong to Christ, all the spiritual blessings belong to us because we are in Christ. Are you tracking? Let me know you're out here. To say it another way, God has given Christ everything. And therefore, God has given us everything in Christ. Beloved, we may be broke as a joke. As we say back in Katie's, we may not have a pot to go to the restroom in. But listen, we are so rich. We are so rich. We are oh so rich in Christ. There's not one single spiritual blessing that we need that we don't already have in Him. Listen, I have this burden, and I do this too. Some of us are on this spiritual journey, and listen, some of you, and me too, we're never satisfied. Some of you are always on a spiritual journey to try to find something new about God that you don't already know. You're like, I've been missing out on something about God. Maybe it's a doctrine, maybe it's a teaching, maybe it's a knowledge. We're always chasing for the next spiritual high, the next concert to go to, the next book to read, the next podcast. We're always looking for a new experience or a new knowledge, and we think we'll find it in another church or something. But brothers and sisters, listen, all that we need, we already have in Christ. Listen. Some of us are chasing a second blessing of the Holy Spirit, as it's been called. Oh, if I could just have this new blessing, if I could just have this spiritual experience, if I could just speak in tongues, or if I could just get a prophetic word, or if I could just have this or that in my church. We're chasing this next blessing. But friends, the text says in verse 3, we already have every single spiritual blessing in Christ. What are you trying to find that you don't already have in Him? In Christ, we are saints already. In Christ, we're already righteous. In Christ, we're already forgiven. In Christ, we are spiritual billionaires. So why do we walk around with our heads down, moaning and groaning in shame and guilt and condemnation, living like spiritual paupers, when our Father owns the whole world and we are joint heirs with Christ and it's all ours? Some of us need to stop living like we are spiritually homeless and realize we are immensely wealthy in our Father's mansion in heaven. All right, let's try to illustrate the point. Do we have any tightwads in the house? You know, they say for couples, you know, like one person is the free spender and the other one's the tightwad. Well, in our house, I'm definitely the tightwad. On a positive note, though, I get in at least 10,000 steps a day at my house alone, just following my wife and kids around, turning off the lights that they fundamentally refuse to turn off when they leave a room. All right, let me get off that. I'm about to get mad thinking about it. I guarantee you, as soon as I left the house this morning, Annie cranked the heat up to like 78. We go to bed at night and we like take turns sneaking out to the thermostat. I turn it down to like 62. She'll turn it up to like 82. It's this thing. But true story, when the kids were little, now they're all like 7 feet tall. But when they were little, Annie would go see her family or something in Illinois. And so I'd be in charge. And the kids were like, oh no, we're not going to eat all weekend. Dad's going to like give us wartime rations. And so as soon as Annie left, I would go to the dollar store, of course, and I would buy 100 pack of paper plates for a dollar. And because I didn't want to do the dishes, and that saves money because it costs money to do the dishes because you have to run the water. And that's a great way to save money. So I would do that, and then I would make their little peanut butter sandwiches with one thin layer of peanut butter. Because you don't need more than that. But especially that all-natural kind of stuff is expensive. So one thin layer, and here's the favorite part that my kids still remind me of to this day. I'd take those cheap little dollar store paper plates, and I'm not making this up, ask my kids, I would cut them in half. If I've ever told the truth in the church, I'm telling it right now. And each kid would get half a plate. Because you, but no, track with me. Y'all are laughing. You've not thought this through. Do you use the whole plate? For a small sandwich, you only need half of a plate. And so some people call it being cheap. I'm just being a good steward. And you know what? 12 years later, I was able to give more money to the church building fund. So y'all don't mind this building, all right? That's how I paid for it, at least our part. Maybe you've heard the name Hetty Green. I think we got a shot of her. Yeah. So she was called America's greatest miser or America's greatest tightwad. She died in 1916, left behind an estate of $100 million. Now, $100 million is a lot in 2025. In 1916, $100 million was billions and billions of dollars. I mean, this is the world's wealthiest woman ever. Made all her money on the stock market. But Hetty Green was so cheap, she would only eat cold oatmeal because she said it was too expensive to heat the water to warm it. Her son had a terrible leg injury, but she would not take him for treatment until she could find a free clinic. True story. It's in her interviews. And by the time she found a free clinic, his injury had become so severe they had to amputate his leg. Now think about this. His mom is worth $100 million. And her son's lying over here dying because mom wouldn't pay to take him to the doctor. She had all the wealth, but she didn't understand how to use the wealth. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. The book of Ephesians is written to believers just like Hetty Green. The book of Ephesians is written for those of us who don't understand how wealthy we are in Christ. It's written for Christians who are still trying to live on the streets when we got a mansion in heaven. The book of Ephesians has been called by many the bank of the believer. The book of Ephesians is all about the riches of Christ. You'll see that phrase, riches of Christ, 5 times in the letter. It's about the inheritance of Christ. You'll see that 4 times. It's about the wealth and all the spiritual blessings of Christ. Again, here is the main point I want us to see today. God is unbelievably rich in all the spiritual blessings, like grace and forgiveness, and it's his great joy to lavishly shower all the grace and all the forgiveness on us. God's not stingy with grace. He lives to shower us in it. God wants to share the wealth. The word, let me just give you an example. The word grace is another word, like blessing, we throw around. I wonder how often we sing Amazing Grace and don't even really know how amazing the grace actually is that we sing about. The word grace is a main point in Ephesians. The word grace or some form of it is used 20 times in this one short letter. Every chapter, grace, God's grace, God's grace, God's grace. And listen, every time Paul references God's grace, it's about how abundantly free and generous God is to give it to us. Let me just give you a few examples. Right out of the gate, so in verse 1 of the letter, Paul's like, hey, I love you, you're saints, the salutation. Then look what it says, the very first thing, verse 2, he says, grace to you. And peace from God our Father. Very first thing he says, grace to you. Like, grace, grace. Pleasant Valley, receive the grace in these words from God. Now skip down to verse 5. Watch this. Now I'm cheating a little because we'll get here more in the weeks to come, but I just want to pull out a few phrases as we start to land the plane here. Verse 5, God predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. By the way, you guys know that second song we sang earlier was a new one. That second song we sang today is exactly singing Ephesians 1. They wrote the song pulling out, we're literally singing the Bible back to God. So just know that the songs we choose here at Pleasant Valley, we're singing scripture. We're singing the word back to God. We're blessing him. So God predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ for himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of, look at this, his glorious grace that he, that is the grace he lavished on us in the beloved one, that is Christ. Now, just ask the Holy Spirit now. Say, Holy Spirit, let this word drench my soul. If you will take verse 6 and stick it in your heart, it will change our lives. Verse 6 says, God lavishes his grace on us. Where you see the word lavished in verse 6, if you want to underline, yeah, okay, here's what it means. Some translations, like the ESV, for example, use the word bestowed here. The word bestowed, that Greek word, is only used twice in the whole New Testament. It's the verb for English people, you'll like this. Grammar nerds, you'll appreciate this. It's the verb form of the noun grace. So that phrase lavished or bestowed, here's what it means. It's God gracing us with grace. It's redundant in the Greek on purpose. It's God grace gracing us. It's a double portion of grace. It's God bestowing his grace. It's like grace, grace. It's like boom, boom. It's grace intensified. It's grace poured out. It's being drenched in grace. That's the word picture. You're walking to the, you park your car. You're going into Walmart to grab some $27 eggs that you had to give plasma to pay for. Okay, so you're running into Walmart and it just starts unleashing from the heaven. I mean, just raining cats and dogs. You don't have your umbrella, no, and you get into Walmart and you're just what? You're just dripping. We've all been there. You're just miserable. You're soaked. You're wet. Just water everywhere. That's what God does with his grace in verse 6. He drenches you in it. God's heart is a tsunami of grace. God's presence in Christ is a hurricane of mercy. When you, child of God, listen, when you are in Christ, you are drenched in grace. You are dripping in mercy. You are soaked in security. You are saturated in love. You are lavished in love. And it's all because of who you are in Christ. In Christ is the safest, most glorious, beautiful place to be in the world. There's nothing that you have in Christ that you don't need more of because you have it all in him. Speaking of that word, bestows, in verse 6, God bestows his grace on you. I love what Eugene Peterson said about that verb. He said, Paul's verb, bestows, signals, and look at, for those of you that are like poetic, you'll appreciate this. Paul's verb signals an exuberant artesian well eruption of grace. I love that language. An eruption of grace. Speaking of an eruption, Annie and I were in Hawaii 2 weeks ago, suffering for Jesus. Somebody's got to marry them people in Hawaii. They need preachers too. But what was cool is we were on the big island, as it's called. What we found out when we got there was that it's home to the world's largest active volcano. Which was erupting while we were there. True story. There were scientists from the USGS, helicopters, like while we're touring the place, like dropping down into the, like watching this happen. There's a lot, I mean, it wasn't quite that extensive when we were there, but it had been just prior to that, literally. It's like an active volcano. So just you can Google it, it's nuts. It happened just before, just like in the last month. So imagine lava, okay, erupting up hundreds of feet in the air. Very unsettling if you're on the island when that happens. But just picture it, like lava spewing and rapturing up in the air. That's God's grace in verse 6. Look, read the text again, verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace that he lavished or erupts on us and all over us in the beloved one. God's grace erupts like a volcano and it never stops. Why? Because that grace that is spewing out of God's heart is his grace in Christ. Listen, as long as you are in Christ, you will never stop being a recipient of the grace of God. Listen, the grace of God is not just the first day you get saved. The grace of God is an everyday gift you get from God in Christ. Every time we sin, his grace just keeps raining down like sweet, cool lava. And the only thing left in the ashes is the guilt for our sin. All right, let's look at one more verse and then we'll close shop for the day. Verse 7, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Brothers and sisters, this needs to be said. And this hurts me to say this. And it's going to be awkward for some of you to hear it. But everything I've been talking about for the past 30 minutes, it does not apply to everyone in this room. This isn't in my notes, but I feel like the Lord would have me to say this. If you are here this morning and you are not in Christ, God's grace is not showering over you. The Bible says in multiple places, his wrath is hanging over you. You are not safe. You're one car wreck. You're one stroke. You're one heart attack from facing the eternal judgment and wrath of God. Because the only place the saving grace of God is found all throughout the Bible is one place, in Christ. Because the wrath of God on the cross already burned over Christ, and his wrath will never come there again. If you're not saved this morning, flee to Christ, run to Christ, throw yourself at Christ, and believe and be saved. In verse 7, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses. According to the riches, there's that word again, the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. Okay, real talk for just a second. Have you ever wondered if God has had enough of you? Have you ever thought, you know, is there a certain number of times I can sin? Or maybe commit the same sin, and God's like, okay, I'm out on you, dude. Have you ever wondered, okay, God, I've overspent the grace credit card, like I've maxed it out. I've lost my salvation, or God must have no more grace left for me. I've done the thing too many times now. How much is God willing to forgive us? Verse 7, look at what he says. His forgiveness is according to the riches of his grace. That is one of the most comforting phrases in the whole Bible. If you're a sinner and a persistent sinner who keeps struggling with the same sins like me. Let me put it in layman's terms. The text says God forgives us in proportion to how rich he is in grace. Well, how rich is God in grace? Because that's how much forgiveness we get. Flip over to chapter 3, verse 8. This grace, Paul says, was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles, that's us, by the way, we're Gentiles, non-Jews, to proclaim to us the incalculable, that means there's so much, you can't count them all. The scientific calculator that you paid your senior in high school $300 to have, it can't go, there's not enough exponents to calculate the riches of his grace. So God is so wealthy in grace, it's beyond calculation. He owns all the grace. All the grace is his, which means all the forgiveness of his, which means this, listen. You cannot max out the credit card of God's grace. God's supply of forgiveness always keeps up with the demand of our sin. You cannot out-sin the amount of grace that God has. You cannot outspend the wealth of forgiveness that God possesses. Why? Romans 5, verse 20. Look at this. Because where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Your sin can't keep up with the grace of God. There's always more grace, always more grace, always more grace in Christ. That is such good news. Such good news. In verse 7 and 8, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he, look at the redundancy in the Greek. Okay, according to the riches of his grace that he richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. So earlier Paul says you get grace graced. You get dumped on by grace. Grace, 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 grace. And now he's like, all the riches he richly pours out on you. Layman's terms, God's not a cheapskate with grace. God is not a tightwad with forgiveness. God is infinitely rich in grace, and he's an unbelievably generous spender. God has no grace budget. Wow, somebody said, and they are right. God has no budget for his grace in Christ. That, if you go over to the ESV, in verse 8, that phrase, he richly pours out forgiveness on us, the ESV renders that same phrase, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Now, earlier in the CSB, you saw the word lavished, but this is a different Greek word here, actually. I know it's a bit confusing, but just trust me on it. Paul uses this word lavish in verse 8, lavishly. He uses it 78 times in the New Testament, or he uses it 45 of the 78. The word lavish in verse 8 means to increase or abound. It means God pours out his grace in abundance. He lavishes us in grace. So you see the theme through Ephesians. It's more. It's eruptions. It's rain. It's lavishing. It's double portions. It's just like you can't run and hide from the rain. There's no umbrella big enough to shelter you from the raining grace of God. It's everywhere you go so long as you are where? In Christ. The word there in verse 8 lavishes us in grace. It's like you're at your grandmother's house for Sunday lunch after church. You're stuffed as can be from all the fried chicken, corn pudding, mashed potatoes, homemade biscuits, But then your grandma comes along, like mine used to me. I mean, you're like sick. You've eaten so much. I mean, you literally have committed the sin of gluttony, and you're of it. Oh, comes along and she says, "Honey, you look like you need you some banana pudding." Anybody else got a grandma like that? God bless them. And you say, but grandmother, I'm full as a tick. Grandma, I've eaten so much. And grandma, I've already had one helping of your banana pudding. And she says, "Well, honey, you're a growing boy." At some point, like, you should not still be a growing boy. But she says, "Well, honey, you're a growing boy, and you look like you need some more." And so nobody, you can't argue with a grandma that's been cooking all morning. And so my grandma Stalin, we're all laying there she would just carry around the big pan of banana pudding, and she would just slap it on. I mean, it's like, it's just almost nasty at so much of it. Oh honey, you just need some more. And you can't say no to grandma. This is what God does with his grace. He just keeps scooping it out. He just keeps pouring out the grace on you. He won't stop lavishing the grace. But you're like, "God, I don't deserve it. God, I failed again. God, I drank too much again. I lusted again. Lord, I failed my spouse again. I lost my temper again. God, I disrespected my parents again. God, I don't deserve your grace." That's like telling your grandma to stop giving you banana pudding. Brothers and sisters, we don't get to tell God to do. We don't get to tell God what to do with his grace. He keeps pouring it out on us because he loves us. Some of us this morning, you're saved, but you're still living in shame, guilt, and condemnation from your sins and your past. And this is why this message today matters. And I know I'm going a few minutes over, but this is so critically important. So track with me. Give me like 60 more seconds. Christian, you are a billionaire in Christ. You got to stop living like you're spiritually homeless. In Christ, you got the presidential suite at the Ritz-Carlton paid for. Why are you trying to sleep at the Motel 6 laid up in the bed in guilt from your past? In Christ, you get to ride in a brand new spiritual Lamborghini. Why are some of you still trying to roll up in an old rusty 78 Ford Pinto, slouched over in shame because of what you've done in the past? We got all the spiritual wealth in the heavens in Christ. But some of us this morning are still trying to pinch pennies and cut plates in half, living in condemnation for our sin, afraid you'll dry up the well of God's grace. In the Great Depression period, they made it a policy at one point that you could only withdraw 10% of what you had in the bank at a time because the money was so scarce. God's bank of grace is not like that. God's grace bank is never closed. There are no limits on God's grace account. All the spiritual riches of Christ, listen, it's like a spiritual checkbook. And you can keep on writing checks out of God's account, and you'll never have a diminished account because there's always more. There's always more. Christ can afford it. You can go to the ATM of Christ's grace 100 times a day, and you'll never overdraw the account. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is Lord over everything. All the spiritual blessings belong to him. And because all the spiritual blessings belong to Christ, all the spiritual blessings belong to you because you are in Christ. Believe it and just let God give you grace. Let's bow our heads. I'd like to invite our music team and our ministry team forward. Guys, listen, this is such a critical message for our church family. I want us to take a few moments here and just pray that we'll receive it. So if this is something that you feel like you needed this morning, you're like, hey, I want to believe this stuff. I don't want to live in shame anymore. I don't want to live in condemnation. I don't want to live in guilt anymore. I just want to pray this over you. If you want to hold out your hands maybe in a posture of receiving, like a kind of palms up, you don't have to do that. That can be helpful for me sometimes symbolically to show I want to get this. I'd love to pray this over you. So if that's you, just prepare your heart now to have faith with me as I'm praying for you. And then after I say the prayer, I'm going to be standing down here at front center, and I've got ministry team members to my left and right under the screens on the walls. They would love to pray. You can come forward. They would love to pray over you as well. Father in heaven, thank you for the wealth we have in Christ. Lord Jesus, help us to receive it this morning by faith. Oh God, we receive your grace. Open up our eyes through the Spirit to receive it. Lord Jesus, drench us in grace. Saturate us in grace. Lavish us in love. Soak us in security. Take away doubts and fears and guilt and condemnation. May we feel so safe and so secure in Christ. Holy Spirit, wrap all this inside our hearts and never let it go. Set us free from condemnation, guilt, and shame. In Jesus' name, we pray these things for his glory. Amen. Let's stand together.
Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.